Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
On the East Coast, Redneck and I's Radio Live. Check us out at redneckandi's.com. You can also join us here, join the conversation, join along, 515-602-9731. Talking about all things trucking and then some. A lot of things going on this week. I was looking at the news and seeing how things are doing, and you know, it's just same old, same old. I tell you what, there's more and more happening these days than I've ever seen. It's trucks hitting bridges. What the hell's up with that? I mean, I pulled up top 10 stories, at least two of them, is truck hitting bridges. That's a lot to me. I don't know about anybody else, but one of them had happened about a month ago up in Denver, and the family of the victim that died in the wreck, in the accident, they're filing a lawsuit. And, yeah, I mean, even when the load is a flat, even if it's not a flatbed load, let's say that you don't have to worry about it because you don't. This one here, the vehicle, there was an excavator on the step deck, and the driver didn't properly notate the height of the equipment that was tied down to the flatbed, so they hit the bridge and caused the debris to fly and hit other vehicles, and then the woman died in the crash. You know, even then, I mean. That right there, because that right there, you're supposed to know. I mean, if people pulling vans, I mean, they do it all the time just because, you know, I mean, how easy is it to pull a van, you know? We're talking about flatbedders that are, you know, supposed to be badasses. So what the hell is up with that? But the carrier is also being sued, which is something else. But that's just, you know, I was looking at it, there's one. And I'm looking at it, well, this is the same one. Because usually that's what happens is that when we pull up articles up on a list for talking about this subject, a lot of times it's the same. Like if you see the topic be the same, it's not two different circumstances. It's the same event. This one here isn't. It's different stuff. It's crazy. I just don't understand it. But anyway, all that's going on, and I just thought we'd talk about that a little bit. But also in the news today, there's a lot of things happening. That I thought was interesting. New York State might implement a speed limiter law for all vehicles starting in 2024. All vehicles must have speed limiters. Good luck with that. And what are those other things? There's some exemption clauses or something like that being proposed in the Senate or whatever like that. But I just thought they were interesting. They popped up on my deal there when I was searching things out. But also it was talking about football, man. Football started. I watched a game last night. And I didn't watch all the game, but it's pretty interesting. You know, you see a lot of stuff that, you know, like I don't follow it as closely as everybody else might. You know, I don't listen to the freaking, you know, sportscasters and all those different people that are sitting there talking in and out all day. I was like, I can't believe you get paid to talk about that. You know, it's football. Everybody loves football, and you get paid to talk about football every day. That's just silly. So I don't listen to a lot of and everything they say is wrong anyway. You know, they don't. You know, I just want to listen to facts. I don't want to care about your opinion, that kind of thing. But anyway, and then they don't want to really talk about what's important. You know, if you're all talking about football, talk about what's important about football, not what's not important about football. But anyway, So I was following up closely, and then so I watched the game a little bit last night, and I realized there's players switched around, and there's some really good players doing different things, and I was just surprised by that, and it was interesting to me. I'm a big Von Miller fan. He's from Texas. He went to A&M, and he was the Super Bowl MVP for Denver when Peyton Manning last was Super Bowl. Well, he did play for the Rams. They won the Super Bowl. Well, now he's with Buffalo, and now Buffalo had the number one defense last year. So Von Miller's my boy, and that was pretty exciting to see all that happening. Spike said, I don't follow that close. So, you know, news to me. If you knew about it before I did, you know, whatever. And then I was watching some movies this weekend. I saw the movie Samaritan with Sylvester Stallone. That was interesting. I'd like to have a little take on that if I got time, if phone calls don't interrupt me or anything like that. But that's a lot of stuff, and it's a lot of fun. And, yeah, let's just keep rock and rolling. It's right on the Redneck and Nice Radio, 515-602-9731.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010. Or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Ride, Concrete Cowboy, ride. The open highway is your range. 10-4. And happy trails to you. Ride, Concrete Cowboy, ride.
Now you're the bandit on the run. Not a bad guy, just having fun. Still riding hard beneath those western skies. If there's an ambush up ahead, and you see Smokey's lights flashing red, remember Trigger and me will be by your side.
Ride, Concrete Cowboy, ride. The open highway is your way. 10-4, little buckaroo, and happy trails to you. Ride, Concrete Cowboy, ride.
All those bad guys that I faced at the Saturday matinee, you and me and a million saddle pals. With a never-empty gun, we kept those outlaws on the run. Remember how we fought and rode until we had them all corralled.
So ride, Concrete Cowboy, ride. The open highway is your way. 10-4, little buckaroo, and happy, happy trails to you. Ride, Concrete Cowboy, ride.
Hey, everybody. Hey, this is it with Redneck and Nice Radio. We're back. It's about a little after 10 after on the hour here. It's 7 o'clock Eastern time is when we get on the air here. And it's It's about 6:12 in Texas here where I'm at. You can call us in at 515-602-9731, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. We appreciate everybody joining along here. And one other thing I wanted to get talking about a little bit was New York. So New York, the state legislature up there, they're trying to pass a law. They've introduced a new bill. And let me get it pulled up here real quick because it was on a special deal that I had. And, man, I tell you what, it was hilarious when I found it. But it was just about the state of New York. Speeding won't be a problem anymore. That's what the news article said. So I was like, well, that's interesting. What are they going to do? It must be about talking about big trucks. And nope, it's talking about all cars. And I was like, well, that's got to be crazy. So, I mean, they're talking about it. It's a big deal. So it was in, this is in autoblog.com. You know what? It was on my phone is where it was that I had the good article. Let me pull it up here. But yeah, I mean, so the state legislature is the guy up here. I mean, he was introducing the bill and it was requiring technology where it was going to use GPS technology along with highway signs, speed limit sign detection. This is in the Rochester First. It was that was where the, let's see if I can pull the exact article that I was reading. And maybe. Oh, well, let me put it into speeding New York, Rochester First. Yeah, and it's like, so officials in New York are mulling a bill that would mandate speed limiters in new vehicles that would be set to the local maximum allowable limit. The system would use GPS and traffic sign recognition technology to determine the speed limit. The system has an appropriately, what is that? This is Active Intelligent Speed Assistance, ISA. Yeah, the system has an appropriately benign and Orwellian name, Active Intelligent Speed Assistance. Senate bill, it's got the number here, it says, would introduce by Manhattan State Senator Brad Hoylman on August 12th. If passed, would require any vehicle manufactured or registered in the state of New York to be fitted with the ISA system starting from January 1st, 2024, it cites the results of the study that show the system could reduce traffic fatalities by 20%. I said the bill also calls for existing active safety systems like automatic emergency braking, active lane control, blind spot monitors, and pedestrian detection, driver drowsiness detection, and even data event recorder to be mandated from the same date. So, hey, if you're a truck driver in New York, especially if you're a company driver, you already got this stuff in your big truck. So putting it in your car, that's no big deal. You know, good luck with all that. It says speed ruins lives, and we must take action to prevent it. The New York City is leading, for example, by implementing new technology to reduce speeds on city's fleet vehicles. Eric Adams, New York City's mayor, said in a statement. I mean, so New York City said they're already trying it with 50 other vehicles. Are they the cop cars? So my first question was, if we have a law that had all vehicles requiring to go the speed limit and not anything more, does that mean all emergency vehicles too? Because emergency vehicles cause accidents. You know, because it's human error. That's what it is. It's not anything else, but it's human error. And by assuming, and I hate when people assume, you know, I mean, of course, it studies bear it out. Yeah, it might not be as much, but it's still an accident. So if you're going to say that, you know, then it needs to be said that all other vehicles need to, you can't go fast. Don't drive fast. Just don't drive fast. You know, screw trying to train people how to drive, because I mean, we all agree with that in the trucking industry, that if the trucking industry trained better, and of course, if the general public was trained better, then driving would be less. I mean, these other countries, when you look at safety records for other countries that don't have any, pretty much any kind of laws, they don't have stop signs, they don't have traffic lights, they don't have lane controls. I mean, you see these videos sometimes of these massive intersections where they're just constantly moving in, and people are just walking across the street, and these massive vehicles are, you know, I mean, like it's like just car after car, you know, it looks like the high level of Frogger in a four, you know, in a four-way intersection where there's like six lanes going either way, you know, and people are just walking, riding their bikes, driving trucks, driving cars, just doing their thing. And I guarantee you that none of those people are either listening to the radio or on their phone. None of them. Because you better pay paying attention when you're in those situations. So that's what I say about it, is that if you were paying attention, none of this stuff would happen ever. You know, you could go as fast as you wanted to. And as long as you're paying attention, you know, you're better off. It's not paying attention. You know, it's trying to set the cruise at 80 and kick back, put your feet up on the dash. That's what people want to do. You can't do that. So that was boiled down to it. And it leads over to the next topic, because that's just, you know, the thing that we've been talking about here for the last couple of months that we see is truck drivers not paying attention to low bridges. We had up there in New York, Rochester, New York, up there near there, Syracuse, I think it was, that truck drivers are hitting the bridge. The bridge is only like 12 foot high. Not even that, probably. I think it was like 11, 10 or 11. And truck drivers are hitting it because they're trying to get to an Amazon warehouse that is in the route, and their GPS says go this way, so they just go that way, and then boom, you know. So, or even worse, they get down the road, and it's a big, like, four-lane road, and they realize, oh, crap, I can't do it. I need to figure out a way to do it, and they just make a big U-turn, you know, just knocking everybody over, you know, that kind of thing. But the one I was wanting to talk about is, I pulled it up here, and it is, yeah, that was right here. CBS News actually covered it. You know what? Maybe there's a video here on this one. Yeah, there is. So let me move this over. Move this over right here. And while I'm doing that, I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and our great sponsor is DPF Regeneration. You guys can check them out, dpfregeneration.com. That's where you get your particulate filters if you need to get your filters clean or replaced, or if you've got EGR problems, or if you got charge air cooler problems, you need some, you know, either different kind of mufflers or different kind of turbo, stuff like that. They got all that stuff. So check them out, DPF Regeneration. I'll pull them up here real quick so you can see them. dpfregeneration.com. You can give them a call at 800-634-3010. Appreciate all their support. And here's the video now. Let's see. There might be an ad here.
It's safe to say that a great day's work starts with a great...
Whoop. And I can't even go back yet again.
Nice sleep.
I was trying to
mute it.
No matter
what kind
of
job
you... I was looking for the mute button. Let's mute it real quick so we can get by this. Ads, hey, you know what? You just got to live with them. That's the way it is. Even now, you can go buy an NFL Plus subscription, but you still got to pay for all the ads. You know, even when you pay, like, for Hulu, Netflix, I think, is getting into it too, where you can have a subscription to Netflix, like Hulu, but it's still got ads in it. You don't have any kind of say on that.
Horrible wreck along I-25. The family of a woman killed in a horrible wreck along I-25 is now filing a lawsuit. Megan Arneson died a month ago tomorrow. A semi hauling construction equipment hit an overpass near Meade in Weld County while heavy debris came off that truck and crushed Arneson's car. Her 10-year-old son was also inside. He survived. Our Kelly Werthmann live tonight along the interstate. Kelly, you've taken a closer look at that lawsuit.
And Jim, it claims that both the truck driver as well as the trucking company failed to comply with federal safety regulations. Now, you've probably seen these signs before, like the yellow ones over this bridge. They indicate the height requirements or the height limitations in those bridges that are often over major roadways.
Yeah, see, that bridge, it's got like
in this case, the truck was too tall, and that led to a deadly collision.
Signs telling you
this was completely preventable. This should never have happened.
When a semi hauling an excavator crashed into a bridge on I-25, debris and concrete slammed into Megan Arneson's windshield. The single mother was killed, and her 10-year-old son watched it all unfold.
I can't imagine a more horrific and traumatic experience than what he went through.
Michael Kane represents the family who filed a wrongful death lawsuit. It claims both the truck driver and the Fort Collins-based trucking company recklessly and negligently failed to ensure the truck's load was safe, including failing to check height limits on bridges along the interstate.
To disregard that most basic safety regulation and go on a crowded interstate and have their load strike a bridge such that it kills somebody, we believe, as the lawsuit says, that that conduct goes beyond negligence and it is reckless.
Colorado State Patrol has yet to complete its investigation of the deadly crash, but Kane says this civil lawsuit will give the family answers to how this could have happened.
They want to seek the full truth, and so the civil justice system is the avenue for families to do that.
It's also the family's hope that the lawsuit will prevent
such
a tragedy from happening again.
That this would send a message to trucking companies and truck drivers that you can't do this.
And the family also shared a statement saying that Megan was a bright light and a wonderful mother. We also reached out to that trucking company, but they declined to comment. Reporting live, I'm Kelly Werthmann, covering Colorado First.
Hi, Kelly.
So, yeah.
Hello, Edward.
I mean, you could see on the video, it looks like that the excavator, the excavator got knocked completely off the step deck. It is the step deck that it was on. The step deck, it looked great. Everything looked fine. In fact, it's almost like you would think, of course, the video you saw was like an aerial shot of the truck and the step deck. So you can't really get zoomed in on whether or not any kind of tie downs or rubber rails got messed up from like to me, if something was chained down properly, if it was chained down like it was supposed to be, it'd take a lot to have that excavator just completely get ripped off. If you had the proper chains, I don't know. You tell me. Cause as a truck driver, I remember, I was in the military actually when I got taught about tie downs, and it's like if you've got a 10,000 pound vehicle, okay? Well, no, let's say this. Let's say the vehicle weighs, our test was is that it was a tug, and it weighed 40,000 pounds. So you put it up on a three axle step deck with a tractor trailer. And this actual vehicle weighs 40,000 pounds. So how many chains do you need to hold it down? And we were like, well, the chain limit is 10,000. So you need at least 4 to 5 chains for each direction. So what do you call 16 to 20 chains separate for each direction, left, right, front, and rear, to keep it from shifting. Because if it's 40,000 and your max weight of that chain is 10,000, that means you need at least 40,000 pounds of force pulling it the other direction. And because if it moves at all, it's going to go that way. And that's what I was taught. And I've pulled a little, maybe flatbed, maybe a couple of times, in the private sector, but all my flatbed experiences come from the military. So yeah. Let's take it into account here. Let's go. We got, I think this is Jeff, isn't it?
Yep.
Hey now, what's going on?
Well, I'm just driving in Minnesota and it's raining up here.
Yeah, I know, man. I tell you what, it's raining down here too. It's been off and on. I think we might get a good day tonight. I might ride the bike tonight. to work, and then we got to ride tomorrow for 9/11 because it's 9/11 weekend.
Oh, okay. Now, I tell you, listen to that story. I didn't see the, I couldn't see the video driving, you know, but
right.
One of the gripes I've got about things like that, you know, they blame the truck driver right off the bat. Well, if you're going down the interstate, why in the hell is the bridge not marked properly? You know, but that happens a lot. Bridges are not always marked.
Yeah, I mean, if you were the lawyer for the trucking company, that's probably the first thing you'd be checking to make sure that the bridge was marked. Or, but now I'm not a flatbed guy. I don't know if you've been flatbed at all, but if I was,
I have.
Yeah, and Robbie's not on here right now, but he's normally the flatbed guy. And of course, we got Greg, our guru. He's done it for years and years. But I've always thought that there was a way that if you knew the route, like if you had an extra high vehicle, well, if you knew something was going to be tall, there was a phone number you could call that would tell you. I don't know.
I had a case in Kansas City one time. I don't know what I was pulling, but I knew where I was at on it. But the bridge wasn't marked. And I mean,
yeah,
to tell you, this bridge looked low. I mean, I thought,
right,
oh, shit. I stopped. I stopped alongside the road, and I went out and stood under the bridge with my measuring stick and touched the top of the bridge. And then I went and double-checked what I had on, and, yeah, I was going to quit it. But, you know, some of these guys that drive these things, they load them up. What's all is it? Yeah, you should be fine. All right. They take off.
Yep.
They
yep.
don't
yep.
measure it.
Yep.
You know, and the bridges aren't marked. Okay. But here's the problem I got with, you know, that lady getting killed. It said that it hit the bridge and the cement down her car and killed her. Now, I'm sorry. If she's falling that close behind that truck?
No, actually, correction. Let me correct you on that because, like you said, you couldn't see the video. So let me correct you. She was in the other lane. She was in the other direction. She was going the opposite direction.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So that you know, and I was thinking about that too. Is that, you know, that kind of deal? Where was that vehicle at and all that? But according to the news report, that the woman that was killed was going in the oncoming lane. So in the
okay.
in the other yeah, and so
that
and I mean
means,
you,
that means it was her time to go, and the Lord used the situation
yeah.
to take care of that. But
right,
that's freaky that way. But as
yep,
far as your question, how can it, you know, how can an piece of equipment come off? Well, if you're hitting something like that, you're hitting it. You probably hit it a pretty good clip, and then chains are made for a pull, tested for, you know, like strength and pull.
Right.
So you hit something quick, you know, and things break.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
either
could...
the chain will let, you know, let a break, you know, or the pin that holds the hook onto the chain can break, or
yeah.
the trailer, you know, I mean,
yeah, it just looks like it's just clean off.
Yeah, they're a little soft steel, so a quick hit, yeah, I can see where that would come, anything could come off, you know.
Especially if he was moving down the road at a good, you know, 55, 60 miles an hour or more. Yeah, you're right about that. A good sharp hit like that, a hard hit. Yeah, I could see that because that, I mean, the way the video portrayed the view of it looked like the excavator didn't make it under the bridge, but the truck did. And there's rock and concrete and just all over. I mean, it's kind of like somebody took a gravel truck and a dump truck full of gravel and just dumped it right on the highway. That's what it looked like. You know,
no, I know some states they have, you know, if they've got a bridge that's lower than normal, you know, like a laser beam going across the interstate, and you break that beam, lights will come on and say, hey, man, you're too tall for that bridge ahead.
Yep, they got that kind of stuff. They got. Remember, we had the. It was like a, what was it called? Like steel tubes hanging from, you know, a higher rail deal, and
yeah.
You could hear it. Like if your truck hit these metal tubes, it was like it's like a bell, like a bong, you know. And so and they of course they
yeah.
give way. They're just swinging, and if you heard that, then you would be told. You know, a lot of times I think that I'm hitting a bridge. I hit a bridge. There's a bridge coming down 37, and like I mean it's probably like 14.5 is what the bridge is or whatever. And I mean it happens all the time. Same bridge all the time. And every time I go under that bridge, I hit a thump. I mean, I hear that just like a thump, like I hit something. What is it? And it's like birds or bats up under that bridge that they start moving around right when that truck goes under there. You're going to knock one of them birds or anything, you know, you're going to knock them senseless. And I mean it, and that you hear it, you know, so especially if it hits a truck. If it hits a trailer, you might not hear it, but the truck, if it hits the truck, you're definitely going to hear it. We do it all the time. You do it, I'm sure. We get birds flying into our windshield or the side of the truck at night all the time. So, yeah, you can hear it.
Right.
It, you know, yep, you're right. Getting something like that. But, yeah.
What's a gnarly feeling is going in that tunnel in Hampton. Between Hampton and Norfolk, Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
That tunnel, I think, is like 13.8, 13.9. So a 53-foot trailer, 13.6, you can go through it okay.
Yeah,
yeah. But they've got height indicators all along before you get to that bridge.
Yep.
And, like, you know, I made it past all the front indicators. Didn't go off, but when I got to the tunnel itself, the last indicator, they must have that maybe dialed in sharp because it says, up, you got it, you're too high, driver, can't go in. I go, man, I got a standard 53-foot trailer. I'm not over height. According to our sensor, you are. And then he looked at my truck and he said, hey, you got a CB radio antenna sticking over the top of your cab, that'll trigger it. I'm going, wow, an antenna that small will trigger that? He goes, oh, yeah. Yeah. So I took it off, and he had me go around and go through it again. It triggered something again. So I had to go around the long way and the other tunnel to go underneath the bay there. It's like a 14.5, you know, tunnel. So you know, no problem there. But, yeah, I tell you, that's something that's always scared me my whole life of trucking. I've heard about, especially Chicago's got a lot of bridges too low, you know. And if you watch some of the YouTube channels, you see those tops, those trailers peeled back like a sardine can. It kind of makes you nervous, you know.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, and I was just going through here to see there was the other talk about. Wait a minute, that's not it. There was another one where, because I don't know, you remember we talking about the one up in Syracuse where there was like four trucks so far this year have hit that bridge, and it's only like a 10 and a half 11-foot bridge, and most of them are straight. It's like only. I think two of them were tractor trailers. The other were straight trucks, and they were too tall.
New York is a screwy state. Have you ever driven much in New York, Ed?
Oh yeah. Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
Because there's bridges up there, and they got them marked 12.9, right? Or some ridiculous like 13, or they got them marked a lot lower than what the bridge is.
Right.
And they, on that one there, it says, oh, we allow for snow buildup on the road. That's why that sign's that way.
Mm-hmm.
And like one place I had to get to, that's the only way you could do is go under this, it was like a commuter train or one of those subway train things, you know, in New York. And I said, how do I get to you? Oh, just go under that bridge. I said, hell, it's marked 12.9. Don't worry about that. That's winter time. So I drove underneath it and looked. Hell, I had 4 inches of clearance, you know. So then you get other ones that aren't marked at all, you know, and people say, well, it must be like one of those other bridges. And they go through it, and they get hit. So I don't know. New York's a strange state when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, up in the panhandle of Texas, they got the same deal on there. So up there on 87, the way the road's built, what they did is they put an underpass going under the railroad tracks, but it's actually going down into the ground. You know, the railroad tracks is flat over on the ground. And, of course, they dug it, and so you can go up under, and they got a little flood gauge and all that. Well, they've got it marked at 14.2. But the deal is it's kind of like a little it's a little curve. It's like a dip. So you could actually it's scary because you're going down as you're going under the bridge, and then you're starting back up before you get back under the bridge. So they've got it marked at 14.2. And when I was hauling for Swift back in the day, we had these low pro trailers that had 19.5 tires on them, and if you put you put those trailers on a regular 22.5 tractor, it made it a little taller. So it always made it over height. So you had to watch out for that because of the way the trailer tilted. So we'd always check that out. Like, you know, some of us would go around. One driver was like, well, I think I'm going to go under it and I'm going to take it slow. So he took it slow and it cleared it. Everything was fine. And we're like, well, that's weird. Cause we were told that if that trailer is pulling by that truck, it's going to be 14.3. This bridge says it's 14.2. We just went under it. We're clear. So we were stopped at the truck stop the other night talking to a trooper. We asked him about it, and he said, well, that bridge is actually almost 15. He said, it's like 14.11, that bridge.
Wow.
But it's marked at 14.2 just so the bull haulers will slow down.
Oh, be darned.
Yep, they mark it load. You know, and it might be a winter thing, you know, if it is snow-packed or whatever, but it is, you know, he says the bull haulers will come through there hauling ass, so, you know, we mark it lower so they'll take notice and slow down.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I first started driving, I came across one of those where, came in at Christmas, you're sitting on top of the hill and you're looking at the bridge and your eye level to it is like, oh, my God, can I go underneath that?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? All kinds of room, but it's just kind of like, wow, can I do that? But and then it's funny, they make actually gauges for your truck that mount out on, I don't know, your bumper or your mirror or something like that.
Yeah,
it'll tell you in the truck what visor that you're going underneath.
Yeah. Yeah, there's technology. I've seen a truck show where the guys had a booth, and, you know, and he's like, I've got, you know, along with all of your other safety features, he's got, you know, sensors or cameras that can tell you whether or not the bridge you're going to hit is going to be too low or not, you know, or whatever. I don't know.
Right.
How it does that. But to me, there's got to be a database. You would think there would be. I know that I've heard flatbed drivers say that they've called the number and checked the routes, or, you know, and we see that if you actually, I don't know about you new school drivers, but us old school drivers, we have this thing called an atlas, and it was a commercial vehicle atlas that gave you a list of all the low bridges.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it does.
Nobody uses that no more, but I mean that was a good reference to whether or not you're going to hit a low bridge. So yeah. Check that out, you new drivers. If you don't know that already, there is a book out there that has that.
I pulled my book out today. I hadn't pulled it out for a while, but I was in an area in Minnesota, and I wanted to cut across to doing what GPS asked me to do, and sure enough, it says, yeah, truck driver, it's a route. Go ahead and take it. So
yep,
I did.
That's right. Yep. So I found another little article here, not talking about bridges or anything like that, but it says here, van traveling well below 80 miles an hour speed limit struck from behind by semi-truck, killing one. The van had been previously reported as a reckless or suspicious vehicle. So when I read the article, when it says it previously reported as reckless or suspicious, it was parked on the shoulder, just like sitting there, and somebody called it in because it's out there on Interstate 15, like out there in the middle of nowhere. It was, where'd they say? It says milepost 374 on Interstate 15. That 374, I don't know how far north that goes, but to me that would be like way up there, like on the other side, on north side, north of Salt Lake City. But the big truck was going either, you know, 70, 75, or 80, and it rear-ended this van. It killed a woman. There's a bunch of people in the vehicle, in the van, and it was going, they say that it was going well below the speed limit. It says the Ford was traveling in the right lane of the northbound interstate, well below 80 miles an hour limit, was struck from behind by a Freightliner semi-truck. The force impact caused it to roll off the right shoulder of the roadway, ejecting the 27-year-old woman and a 3-year-old boy not wearing seatbelts in the center row of the van. It doesn't say exactly how fast the van was going, but I mean, here's a driver. I don't know. I mean, to me, rear ends, it's always whoever does the rear ending is the one at fault. Doesn't matter.
Sometimes it does matter. Sometimes.
Well,
because there's been cases of it. In Omaha, Nebraska, where a guy is away at the top of the ramp, see a truck coming, and jump out in front of right at the exit there, hit their brakes.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why dash cams have been so important these days because of that. We see it now.
Yeah.
I don't know if you got an Instagram, but there's a lot of stuff on either on TikTok too. There, drivers are sharing videos of people doing that where they're in traffic. And the truck's going down the road, and you see the vehicle pass them, and then the vehicle passes them and cuts in front of them and then slams on the brakes.
Yep.
And they're trying to do insurance fraud or whatever, and they're just trying to get big trucks to rear end. This one, I mean, like the guy was going, the minivan cut in front of him and then jammed on the brakes. And he slowed down. He didn't do any. And then he was following them, and they sped up again. They went way out there in front. And then they kept slowing down, and then they slammed on the brakes. And then they just flat out stopped on the road, just like flat out just stopped and tried to get out of the vehicle and I don't know what they were doing. But the truck driver, luckily, the lane was free to his right, and he was able to get over to the right and pass that when they were parked or when they were stopped. But, yeah, I mean, these people are crazy. You know, they're just going to get out there because it's easy. It's easy just because, you know, that like you – There's signs everywhere saying, let's sue the big truck companies. Let's sue the trucks.
Yep.
And people get out there and try to do it. I agree with that, yeah. This here, I don't know if this article, the way they were talking about it, is that the van was just going down the highway. But I don't know exactly when they say well below 80. I mean, was it going 50? Was it going 20? You know, that kind of thing. They say when the vehicle got reported, so it says earlier that day the van – had been reported to police as a reckless or suspicious vehicle parked in the emergency lane close to milepost 374. Troopers responded to the scene, were unable to locate the minivan, but eventually found the vehicle fueling up at a gas station and spoke to the driver. After the conversation, officers cleared the scene and did not pursue the case further. So they talked to the guy. So ain't no telling what was going on with that, but then they were going really, really slow down the highway. And I don't know. To me, I would be like, what was the conversation about? Because sometimes I've seen it too where you've got vehicles that even shouldn't be on the highway, and they're out there on the interstate, you know, like you're saying, going 35, 40 miles an hour, maybe even slower, because it's a piece of junk vehicle. And you see that a lot too. And it's like, you know, I don't know why they're not stopped and forced off the road because they got this crappy-looking vehicle going down the road. But That's just the way it happens. We see it all the time, especially me. I drive at night, and I'm on Interstate 35, and going south, you know it. You've seen it. If you've been down in South Texas, you've seen it where you've got about three vehicles being towed together.
Yeah.
They're heading down to Laredo, or they're heading down to the valley, and it's they're up here buying used cars, and then they're taking them down to Mexico to sell them. You know, it's a big business, and you see it all the time.
They all come through Nebraska. I think they go to Omaha's auction. Cause God, 81 going south to Dallas. It's just packed. You see them all the time.
All the time. Yeah, it's a big business. You know, and it's part of. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what they're buying them for, because a lot of times they're at the, like you're saying, they're not buying used cars. They're buying crap that shouldn't be on the highway. That's what they're buying. They're buying the stuff that's fixing to fall apart and is scary, you know? So yeah, it's not good. I mean, I don't know if it's good for our economy or not, but it seems to be they're going somewhere buying these crappy vehicles. But you know, the stuff that you're looking at, if you're looking at buying a used car, they're buying the stuff you're turning. If you've got a piece of crap car that you're trying to upgrade to a used car, that's the stuff they're buying.
Yeah.
If you got something sitting in the driveway that barely starts, that's what they're buying.
Yeah. Who knows what they're getting them for? I think sometimes they get them down. Go down there and they melt them down. That's the only way they can get metal out in Mexico. I don't know.
Might be. You're right.
I don't know. Because you're right. Some of that junk you see going south is like, gee, Merry Christmas. You know, it's like they can't even get a hitch on them. They take a cutting torch and cut the back of the car apart so they can get a chain on something. You know, it's like, what?
Yeah. Yep, I agree with that. Well, cool deal.
I'm parked for the day.
Good deal. Well, I'm fixing to get out of here, too, because I've got to go to work.
Well, I'm glad you were on the air for this week. God dang, I called about every day. I was, like, bored. And I'm like, hell, let's see what Ed's got to talk about. Where's Ed? Oh, my God, he's sleeping.
Yeah, we got a lot of things going on down here, so I'm trying to get things in the way. And of course, we heard Tiff had to attend the funeral, which was upsetting. But, you know, hey, that's stuff you got to do.
Yeah, that's life.
Yep. So one of the things I was going to mention before I jumped off the air was I watched the movie Samaritan with Sylvester Stallone on Prime Video, Amazon Prime. And it's like a superhero movie. And Sylvester Stallone plays a superhero, and it's a really good movie, and there is a twist, so I don't want to talk about the movie too much without giving away the plot, but I thought it was a good movie, I thought that if there was a conservative, like streaming service, like it would be it's a good conservative movie. That's what I thought. I think it represents conservatism. I think that the plot, the moral to the story, is conservatism, because what it boils down to is that what we find out is that everybody in this one city, there's a bad guy and a good guy, and the city is divided. Part of the city likes the bad guy, part of the city likes the good guy, and what you find out is that it's not necessarily bad and good. It's they're both capable of being good. They're both capable of being bad, and it's your perception. So you've got to be able to weed out the good and bad, and you got to understand that everybody. And I mean, he says it at the end. Everybody is capable of doing bad things because it's in our hearts, and we have to be able to control.
Is he got some type of superpower? If he's a superhero or what?
He's like indestructible. He's like very, very strong. He's like Captain America. He's very, very strong and like bulletproof. So like he gets shot at, happens to him, and like he when the kid punches him, and when the kid punches him, you hear clunk, you know, it's like he's like a robot, but he's not. He's kind of like, I don't know. It was just that the superhero function of him is that he's super strong, and he's basically indestructible, or he heals. And one part of the movie, he gets run over by a car, and he's laying there with a broke leg and a broke arm, and he just sits there and just kind of, and he, you know, heals himself. But that kind of deal. But yeah, I mean,
another good movie. If you got time to watch a good movie, and it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
And that's called Lady Driver.
All right. Good deal.
It's worth a watch. I mean, it's worth if you like racing movies. You know the lady's gonna win. You know, later sometime, but it's a good movie.
That's good. That's good stuff. Yeah, I always like it. You know, I mean, a lot of times it's predictable. Like the movie Samaritan, there is a plot twist, but I figured it out from the get go. Because I watch those movies so much. You know, it's one of those things where if you pay attention to the acting, if you pay attention to the act, what's being said, you know, and all that, it's like at one point I was like, well, maybe I'm wrong. And then it's like, nope, I was right. You know, it's kind of thing. But, and just like you're talking about the lady's got to win. We'll say, well, that's got to win. It happens, you never know. So things like that, you know, plot twists or whatever. I like that kind of stuff, but I also like it when it's cool looking, and I think that's what you're talking about with the racing movie. Racing is cool; everybody loves that.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yep. Good deal. So good deal.
All right, Ed. Well, have a good weekend. I'm going to take off here then.
Sound good, bud. All right. Drive safe. We'll see you.
Bye.
Yep. Good deal. So yeah. Like I said, that's what we do here on Truck Driving with Redneck and I's Radio. Talk about truck driving, talk about life on the road. Hey, man, we like watching movies. You know, we're talking about politics. Like I said, there's going to be a speed limiter proposal for all vehicles in the state of New York by 2024. That's really interesting. There was a couple things I wanted to talk about as far as politics goes, because there's infighting between the Democrats and Republicans on allowing local news organizations to get revenue from like Google or whatever. And I don't know. It's just weird to me what they're fighting about. It's piddly crap like that. It just pisses you off because, you know, there's bigger problems to fry, you know, all that stuff. So it's just stupid. I don't know. It's just stupid. But football's back in town, and I'm excited about that because I like football, and the NFL's fun just because, you know, I just like to see, I don't know. I like to see good play. I don't care. I don't care what you're doing. You know, if you're standing up there and you're refusing to play or whatever, or you're not playing good, and the other guy, what do you call, is playing better and he's not, you know, trying to kneel for the anthem or whatever, then put him in. I don't care. Get the guy out of there. Pull him out. I don't care. You know, it's one of those things. You want to dance up and down. Hey, as long as you're scoring touchdowns, you can do whatever you want. So it doesn't matter. But yeah, that's the way it is. This is Redneck and I's Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Like I said, our great sponsor, DPF Regeneration. Go check them out at dpfregeneration.com. Other great sponsors I'd like to mention is Load-to-Ride Transportation. That's ltrtransportation.com. And let me see here. There you go. So, yeah, and then we'll just fire it up here, and got a few minutes left, so I'll just talk it out. It's, like I said, 515-602-9731 is the number. Check us out at redneckandeyes.com. Please go subscribe to YouTube channel. We're also on YouTube Live right now. Appreciate everybody watching along with that. And I didn't get a chance to look at all the comments. Chris, I appreciate y'all, your comments on that. And we'll definitely see you on Monday. What do you call? Let me get along. Yeah, there we go. Make sure everything's covered. There we go. Cool deal. So, yeah. Check us out. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com. You can go subscribe to YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. We're always on YouTube Live. Every time I do a show here for the Blog Talk Radio, when you call in, I'm also on YouTube Live. So check that out. Go look up Redneck and Eyes on YouTube. Appreciate everybody subscribing to that. So go check us out, and we'll hope to see everybody. I won't be in Pennsylvania, but there will be a truck show in Pennsylvania. It's the Truckers for Hope. You can check them out at truckers4hope.com. There you go. And that's Truckers for Hope is going to be September 23rd to the 25th in Mill Hall, Pennsylvania at the Clinton County Fairgrounds. And we'll talk about, more about that on Monday. I appreciate everybody tuning in and checking us out. Like I said, don't forget to go subscribe to YouTube channel and call in 515-602-9731. And if I ain't talking about, if you want to talk about something and I ain't talking about it, you know, let me know. Just call in and say, no, I don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about something else. And holler at me. Just check us out. Like I said, this is Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody's support. Don't forget all our sponsors, dpfregeneration.com, LTR, Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com, and also Trucker Tools. You can check them out. That's the app for truckers. Download the app from the App Store. Check them out, truckertools.com. Appreciate everybody's support. Y'all have a good night. All right, now, Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live.
Please don't say you love me, 'cause you know I only kick you out my door. Yeah, I pay your cafe off. You use my best cologne. Just don't be here in the morning when I wake up. Come on, baby. Stay with me.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.